Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cub Chat Live. Today we are talking about succession planning and planning for the next leadership, set of leadership in your Cub Scout pack. We are joined by Audrey, who is our Cub Scout chair, best friend of the show. And well, before I get too much into it, thank you for joining us again, Audrey.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I'm totally putting you on the spot. It's really a timely topic because I don't want to say this is going to be your last time on the show because I really don't think it will. But in terms of serving as the chair of the Cub Scout committee, this may be your last time on the show. Is that right?
Yeah, it could very well be. I will be the exiting chair at the national meeting, which is in the middle of May. And our new committee chair, our current vice chair, Tamara, is going to be taking over as chair for National Cub Scouting. And so it's an exciting time, but it's also like one of those bittersweet times, right? So this is my last thing on the schedule.
I mean, I'm certain we're going to rope you back into shows. And we love Tamara. So we're super excited. We love Tamara on the show. She's another best friend of the show. But Audrey, we will miss getting to see you so regularly. So thanks for everything you've done for Cub Chat Live. You really, so much of the spirit behind why the show exists and how it exists. So thank you.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate you. And it is a robust resource. And I think as we get into it, I'll be able to highlight that. So please continue to use Cub Chat Live and view it weekly as it's the pulse of what's going on in Cub Scouting and what you need to know.
Yeah, it's been super exciting to see Cub Chat Live grow over the years. It's exciting to see it eclipse many of our other projects, to be honest. You know, Aaron and I and Brian work on a lot of things, and Cub Chat Live is actually something people know about. So that's very exciting. Yeah. So we're talking succession planning today. You had to do a little succession planning yourself with this. Right, which we can totally talk about, but we're really talking about Cub Scout leaders and how this happens. We have some awesome resources to share. I know you're going to be calling those out throughout the show, so we'll drop links. We'll put up QR codes. This is probably the most obvious question, but it's an important one to ask. You know, why is it important to select strong leaders?
Well, it's because the scouts deserve that, right? The scouts deserve a qualified, enthusiastic leader that enjoys what they're doing and can give them the full scouting program that they're expecting and hoping to have. And it's the best method to provide that sense of community that the parents are looking for. And also that's, you know, the guiding principles that we have is to be able to spend time with these scouts so that we can build in the principles of citizenship and leadership and personal fitness and character development, all those kinds of things in scouting. And a highly qualified and enthusiastic leader is the best one to do that.
Makes a lot of sense. And I think that probably expands, you know, we're not just talking about Cub Scouts when we talk about this. Like, why wouldn't you pick a strong leader?
Yeah. And it's a normal part of scouting is succession planning because, you know, people move, their jobs change. They move from Cub Scouts up to Scouts BSA. There's lots of reasons that you would have potentially a hole that you need to be aware of and coming up and that you need to fill. Another thing is, you know, the lions and tigers, depending on where in your pack has the entry programs, those automatically are a hole, right? Unless you have like a heritage grandparent, like Cub Scout Mike, who's there as the one to oversee that transition, you typically need a new leader for that particular role every year. So succession planning is key, and developing that plan for so that you have a strong program, you don't have those gaps, you don't have like missing months. And it also, in some cases, it's not like holes. It's like you've had exponential growth. Some areas of our country are doing a really great job with bringing in new scouts, inviting those families. And now really the den is too big to have just one den. They need to split into two. Well, you need a leader for that. So there are multiple reasons that you would want to do it. All of them necessary and good.
Absolutely. And so this is going to feel out of order, but I want to rewind it because sometimes we get into these subjects and I realize we might be using terminology not everybody is familiar with. What is succession planning?
Succession planning is thoughtfully considering the leadership roles in your PAC and how are you going to fill them and who is going to do it and doing it in a timely manner. And we'll get into the details of how you do that, but we've done a series of Cub Chats on this in the archives, which is the, you know, I understand Facebook is changing their policies and that our live videos will only be up for 30 days or something like that. So, but they are always housed, thank you, in the archives on YouTube under Scouting Magazine, and they're there and they are robust. And so we're kind of doing a series on this. We've done a chat in March 14th. I'm going to reel off some dates. So if you want to write this down, these are good dates. On March 14th, we did an annual PAC planning conference. So ideally, you're going to start with your PAC plan and get your awareness, and then we're going to go into leader succession. We also did a similar one in 2/16 of 24. We did a spring recruiting one. I just did last month on the 21st. So that sets you up for some of this need for leaders. We did a fall onboarding of leaders last fall on 9/13 of 24, 10/6 of 23, and 10/28 of 23. All different ways to onboard your leaders in the fall. And usually that's going to be those tiger and lion leaders, but it could be, like you said, somebody moved and you didn't know they were going to move over the summer. So who do you have in place and how are you onboarding them, bringing them in to Cub Scouting in a friendly, helpful, supported manner? At the joining nights in the fall, that brings, like, what if you have a really great one and now you need two dens, you know, for several things. And that was on 9/6 of 24. And then also we have one on 3/25/22 and 8/6/21. So we've been doing this a while, recruiting and training volunteers. So some of the tips I'm going to give you on how to do the succession planning, how do we find these volunteers and how do we keep them engaged and things like that. So all those have really great nuggets. They spend more detailed time on some of the points I'm going to highlight. And I really encourage you to go back and look at the archives. There's lots of good things and maybe just even different perspectives.
Very good. Yes. As Audrey points out, Facebook is used to house these videos forever and ever and ever. Now it sounds like they're going to keep them up for about 30 days. So if you still have like initial emails right after a Cub Chat Live or something you want to send, you can link to Facebook. They'll be there for a while. Definitely still tag your friends and your fellow leaders, your fellow parents who you think could benefit from watching each topic. Sometimes that's just a good way to make sure their eyes are on these videos. But we have these videos forever and ever and always, we hope, we think.
on so far, YouTube is stable.
Right, it's on YouTube, scoutingmagazine.org/CubChatLive. You can check out the archives there. Shout out to behind the scenes Aaron today. Yeah. He is running the deck. You can't see him, but he's here. Good old Aaron.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Because the show is for our parents and leaders, I can say Aaron and I were joking a little bit before the show saying, like, this succession planning makes us think of that show Succession, which was all about, like, who's going to take over? So that's not really how we think of it, taking over. I mean, it's a team effort in Cub Scouts, but it's just that idea of, like, who's following in your footsteps, who can, you know, do what you're doing and do it in their style. Quick shout outs to many of these packs that we've seen around for years and years watching our videos. So we know that they do some succession planning. Pack 84 in New Philadelphia, Ohio. Hey, y'all. Hey, Rusty. Pack 916. Hey, Brandon. Pack 311. Hey, Steve. Hey, Pack 3310. Happy Cub Chat Friday, indeed. And Rob says, great topic, something I'm working on for my pack. So on that note, we're talking succession planning. Where do we start?
Right. And like you just said, sometimes you do have to just step in. Like if somebody has an illness, I mean, heaven forbid, a heart attack or something like that, then sometimes you do actually just have to step in. And that's the job of the Cub Master and the committee chair to figure that out. But we're not talking about that exception. We are talking about, in general, how to set yourself up for success and to have a flowing plan in place so that you can, just like kind of like in our Cub Scouts, Lisa was the committee chair before me, and she brought me in as vice chair, and I was screened and all that for particular skill sets. And the same thing with Tamara, and it's been like a year. So this is the ideal kind of thing you want to do in your Cub Scout pack, and it is possible. There might be those exceptions, which go outside of the norm, but we're going to talk about the regular thing. So actually, it starts way before you ever get to that point. And so that's why I highlighted some of those other topics about the welcoming and the finding volunteers, is that is that you need to start with a welcoming environment to all parents, right? So you're making this look like this is a place to be, this is a fun thing to participate in, and this is like, it's not that hard, right? It's fun, simple, and easy. Don't overcomplicate things so that the parents will feel like it is fun, simple, and easy and something they want to take part in. Have them get involved with little tasks that need to be done. Don't give it a big title. Don't say you're a leader. Just say, you know, can you handle snacks for this? Can you set up the room for this? Can you bring your truck and haul this? Can you, you know, can we borrow your yard for, you know, whatever we're doing, green gutter, we got it, whatever it is. Those kinds of simple little things are set yourself up for, this isn't that hard and this is pretty fun and I can do this. You want to have your parent meeting, and we're calling it a parent meeting instead of a committee meeting, is within 10 days of your joining. So they feel included and part of this. And again, the sense of community. And not every, like I said, not every title requires, not every job requires a title to be done. And in fact, we discourage it. Because the newer generations, the research is saying, is that if you put slap the word leader on it, they're out. Peace out. That's too much. But if you say, can you help with this? And it's a personal invitation, they say yes. But not if you slap that I'm a leader title on it. So however you need to do to make it work. There are some tools to help you with this. And one is the Family Talent Survey. And I think we have a link to it. Is just a handy sheet. Erin May doesn't have quite the link to it. But this is what it looks like. And oh, there we go. Awesome sauce. We thank Erin. He's pitch hitting for Brian. So we really appreciate that. So on this, and it's on our website under committee leaders, and then committee resources is right there. I think you could also get to it directly through the scouting.org store. But anyway, it has like little things like what I just said. Can you bring your truck? Can you do this? Can you help out with this topic? Can you do that? So you get that information and then you actually ask them to do these things. Even if you might be able to do it yourself, you need to start getting, including people in so they feel like this is fun, simple, and easy and something that they can be a part of. And it builds confidence, right? It builds confidence that they can work with young people and they can do this. So encourage the Family Talent Survey.
Yeah, then, that's a good, I always just like that in general. I think that's another good tool that I'm like, ooh, that we use this in scouting. Why don't we use this in so many different formats where you're really seeing, hey, what are my skill set? What's my skill set amongst my parents,
right.
Basically?
Right. And it's non-threatening, right? It's like, you know, do you enjoy fishing? Could you teach us about fishing? Well, we have a whole achievement, you know, an advancement around adventure around fishing. And so, well, if I could teach one thing, maybe I can teach another thing. You know, it's building those confidence, those levels, and supporting them through it, communicating well. So,
yeah, and we're really getting into this. How do you identify the prospective leaders component of this? I realize. So it makes me think, and you've just tackled this. I think in talking with Anthony about this previously, there's this idea that like, sometimes just people need to dip their toe in the pond and like just helping out a little bit before they're like, this isn't so bad. So, you know, when we're talking about where do we start, you might be a brand new leader. So the day you start succession planning is probably the very first day you can ask for help amongst your other parents, right?
Yeah. And it starts with that welcoming environment. And honestly, this is not just for Cub Scouting. You could apply this to church, the PTA.
Work.
This is just how it works and how is the best way to approach it is make people feel welcome, let them know where they can help, ask them personally if they will help in these certain areas, and then they build that confidence.
I want to ask you more about, you know, that how are we asking them a portion of it. Something else I think Anthony has pointed out, and you kind of alluded to as well, if you're a leader, it's not serving you right now if you're doing everything yourself. You probably feel that.
No.
Maybe you do or you don't, but it's really not going to serve you when you need to walk away.
And that's a caution because that's an easy default for some of us is to just take care of it because right. Then you don't have to communicate. You don't have to, but that is not helping you in the long run. You need to bring people alongside of you and encourage them to try different things, different components. And in one of the previous Cub chats, I already alluded to like onboarding new leaders and supporting the joining nights and things like that, especially with the Tigers and Lions. We did encourage a direct mentorship type of leadership role because those are our newest parents who have never seen this. But for the other things along the way, you can have them introduced and start building them and start observing them. See, how are they doing with this? Is this, you know, is this a skill set they have? Do they work, you know, are they able to work well with children, or is that really not their skill set? Maybe they want to be a treasurer. Maybe they're really good with money, not so good with the kids, but really good with handling the details on certain things. You know, so there's different roles in the committee besides the den leaders. So, you know, you're keeping your eyes out for all kinds of roles.
Very, very good. Quick shout out to Pac-7. Thanks for tuning in. Erin put a link to the talent resource survey there in the comments, wherever you're watching. So you can check that out and download it. You can use it. Very cool. So we talked a little bit about how we identify prospective leaders using that, but is there anything else there, Audrey, we should be keeping in mind when identifying leaders?
You know, there is. There is something called Selecting Cub Scout Leaders. And I think we have a link to that. Yep, there it is. So it's a little booklet that helps you as a committee work through this process. And so I'm just going to highlight things from it, but it is a step-by-step. It gives you some overview, and then it has like a worksheet on the back page for you to work through to sort of be, you know, to be triggering, you know, what you need to be thinking about and how you need to go about it. So that is the link there. And we can to the Selecting Cub Scout Leadership. I believe that's the link. It looks like it's to Cub Chat Live. But anyway, you can see. So same thing. This is Selecting Cub Scout Leaders is under, when you go to scouting.org Cub Scouts, you select the leader tab. It's under committee resources and boom, there it is right there. So first steps are it listed right here.
I'll put a link to that. I'll put a link to this Selecting Cub Scout Leadership.
Okay. Perfect.
In the chat. So if you're not seeing it on screen, or if that's not taking you the right place, this will.
There we go. Yeah. As it's,
it's a long URL.
Yeah. It's a long URL. So when you're looking at your first steps, it highlights that. And really there is a process, and there are some people that should be heading this process. And the first thing is you have a chartered organization rep. And they are actually in charge of approving and selecting leadership. They may choose to delegate that, or as when I was a PAC committee chair, I was also the committee organization rep. So they had delegated that to me as an authority picture. So it depends on how your PAC is set up, but if they're separate and they want to participate, the committee organization rep, the COR, is really in charge of the leader selection process. And if they choose to, they could delegate it to the committee chair. Then you're going to need a couple people to be on the selection team. And then you go through the process and come up with a list of some leaders. So very first things you want to do is think about the skills that are needed for which roles. And I kind of talked about that earlier, right? A den leader needs different skills than the accountant, right? Than the treasurer. So they need to be able to, you know, manage chaos, manage young ones and get them excited about learning and get other parents involved and maybe more high energy. Don't have to be, but maybe more high energy is helpful. Cub Master really probably should be fairly high energy, managing things, enjoy having fun and enjoying a larger group. Your committee chair hopefully is good at managing teams and managing the whole process and the relations with the charter organization and the whole committee and the finances and all that overview of that. And then you've got treasurers, and then you've got, other roles that you might have on your committee. So each one has a different skill set. And so you want to list out what those skills are. And you want to think about that first before you start putting names to that. You want to think about what skills do we need, because that could trigger different things when you're thinking about the skill set of who you're talking about. And there's the form that is on the back of that three-page How to Select Cub Scout Leaders. And so that's like the first step. Then the next step in that is that you're going to identify prospects. So people. Now, it could be people from your pack, but it could also be people outside of your pack. Like if you know of a good accountant that has loves to do community service, maybe they're great. It doesn't necessarily have to be a parent as long as it's approved by the charter organization. It also could be other family members. You know, Cubcat Mike is a grandpa, right? And he is it's heavily involved as a den leader and in their pack. And he's a grandpa, so he's not a direct parent, right? It could be other former leaders, right? They maybe their scout moved into Scouts BSA. They're not as active there, but they still would like to come back and help with the pack. Could be somebody directly from the charter organization. A lot of them, if they're at churches or whatever, they have people who would love to support Cub Scouting or Scouts in general, and maybe there's somebody there. Alumni. And, you know, even graduated Scouts, right? Scouts who have completed the Scouting process and now are coming back to help in their community. So it could be a number of people. It doesn't always have to be parents. So kind of look outside that in your perspectives. And don't eliminate people until you don't self-eliminate people. Like, oh, he's really busy. Maybe we won't ask him. Let them be the person who makes that decision, because sometimes people think Cub Scouting is that important that they will rearrange their schedule so that give up something else so that they could do Cub Scouting. Let them make that decision.
Some people just thrive off that, especially once you start getting into scouting. They can just take on more and more. They're an expanding fishbowl somehow.
Yeah, I was going to only be doing it for 6 months about 20 years ago. So,
ew, isn't that funny?
You know, it happens.
You can never, ever, ever leave.
I speak from experience on that one. I didn't happen to be the parent, but I didn't have any time in my schedule.
But you said yes. Oh, that's so funny. So, okay, again, can I put you on the spot and ask you, you know, how did you get asked for your first volunteer role in scouting, whatever that was?
Well, it was, we were starting a pack. I was starting a pack. Our school didn't have one. My son came home with a sticker from the district executive who talked to the school about Cub Scouts. And, I was involved as a youth in Sea Scouting, cause that was the only thing girls could be in those days.
Oh, cool. I didn't
very
know
much
that.
Dating myself. It was the only co-ed program.
That was so cool, Audrey.
So I went up through leadership. I was quartermaster and everything, which is all that girls could do. That was the highest the girls could do, which was equivalent to Eagle Scout. So I knew about scouting, and I knew that it had been a high value item in my life, set me up with life skills that I use to this day. And so when my little one came home and said, you know, Mom, I want to do this, I went, okay, we're going to make it happen.
How did you say no to that? How do you say no? Yeah, you were destined for this, it sounds like.
They get you. So, but I didn't know anything about land-based scouting, right? I'd never been a boy. So there was a learning curve there. So they needed to start a pack and they needed somebody, and I was already the PTA president and something else. And I'm like, okay, I can only commit to 6 months, but we'll start this because my son wants to do it. And then boom.
Yeah. There you go. All it took was just getting you involved, asking you. How funny. So having been on that side and been on the side of asking probably many people if they could help out, you know, how do you ask?
Right. So you want to make it important. So that's what the district executive did. And at the time we were just starting, so we didn't have the chartered org established and all that yet. So, but you want to have it, make it important. Right. That like a job, like you're interviewing for a job and you have an offer from a job. And sorry, I just got spring. I just got something in my eye. Spring allergies. So you want to set up an actual meeting, right? You could do it like before, after a pack meeting, but I really don't encourage that. That's the focus, and children are waiting to go home, or it's just hard, right? So I would, you know, meet at a Starbucks, whatever you need to do. And bring another adult is key. because somebody else from the selection team, because that has weight, right? Somebody else has seen me in action and thinks that I can do this job. And somebody else has gone through the selection process. And right now I'm the top candidate. So that just adds weight as somebody else to ask questions of, like, well, I know this guy really wants me to do it, but you know, why is he saying I want to do it? Mm. So it just adds weight and another adult. And I would also bring a written job description. So we have those on our leader site of for each rank. What is the job description of a Wolf Den leader? And it's right there. So I would bring that in writing so that they can have it available so they know what the responsibilities are. And let them know that a team thought they were the top person. We had a selection committee and you came up as our, you know, as our top reference. We really think that you would be great at this. And would you consider doing this? And those kinds of things help to make them maybe believe in themselves more if they don't already, and gives a little bit of weight, and then gives somebody else to ask questions of, right? Two different perspectives at least. So
I like that advice from top to bottom. I really like the idea of setting a meeting of some kind too, because we've all been in the position where you're like, maybe like when you're bringing groceries in or something and your neighbor catches you outside and you're like, I'm gonna go over this. Like, you don't want to be that person when you're the leader asking for help. It's much better for somebody to know, I'm going to designate even a short amount of time, even if it's a 10, you know, 5-10 minute meeting. Say, that's great.
Right. And I mean, you can do it through Zoom. I don't encourage that. I really encourage the personal touch because it adds meaning. Mm-hmm. It adds meaning if possible. I mean, if you're just catching them on the run, how important is this if you can't take, you know, if you can't take the time to sit down and talk. So I think that is, well, I don't just think. I think that is a part thing, but that's also what the resources say is right. A good method to use. So that's in the brochure I'm talking about. So
yeah, like the A+ for the in person. If you had to use some kind of a digital, you know, touch point, that's what you got to do, because you might be in a timely situation.
You may have distance barriers or something like that. So you know, there's nothing that says you can't do a Zoom type situation, but it is definitely encouraged in person.
Prioritize in person. Okay, so you asked. There are two outcomes. Somebody can say yes. Somebody can say no. Mm-hmm. What do we do in both of those outcomes?
Well, if the answer is yes, you want to follow up immediately, right? So you're going to thank them. You're going to thank them for the consideration. And if they need time to consider the decision before they say yes, that's actually a good sign, right? That means that's a responsible person who's actually going to evaluate it and not just say yes and ghost you. Right. Because that does happen. If they feel there's too much pressure, somebody could ghost you. Somebody could say, I'm just, you know, never answer another email. And so that is not ideal. So you give them time for consideration. And once they do say yes, then say thank you and give them all the resources and support that they need. So you're going to give them their welcome new Den leader guide, which I told you is on scouting.org under leaders, and then under committee resources, there's one for each rank. And then you announce it formally in the pack that you're so excited. And there's even induction ceremonies, which we're going to have a rich, robust resources. I'm going to tease right now is coming up online. So there's going to be lots of good stuff there. And then a mentor or guide to continue to support them. I mean, ideally it's the current leader, right? But it might, you know, like I said, if it's some of those emergencies or they had to leave because work job transferred them immediately, sometimes you don't have that. So then is where your cub master, committee chair, previous leader. I came back to my pack and filled in a couple times while they were doing a transition between leadership. So you know, keep those resources in your top of mind because emergencies do happen. You know, somebody's parent gets ill, something, you know, there's things that can happen. So have a mentor or guide to help to continue to support them through the onboarding process. And we have those cup chats, as we talked about earlier at the very beginning of onboarding new leaders, how to support them, how to set up those mentors and so on. So look that up in the archives and go back. It's in the fall of September 13, 24. 10/6/23 and 10/28/23 are some good resources.
Very good. Yeah, there's a lot of complimentary past episodes to today's topic for sure.
But if they said no,
yeah, if they say no,
that is okay, right? That is okay. You would rather, and you want to stay positive. You want to still thank them for their time and their effort. Find out if it's no for now or no for forever, right? Is this just no because I've got a huge work project the next 6 months and I can't do it? I really can't. Don't have the mental energy. But, you know, I could consider it again yeah. at a different time or a different leadership role. Is there a different leadership role that I'm more interested in? Maybe I am more interested in being a committee chair than a den leader. So when that comes vacant, maybe I could be for consideration. Ask the why, you know, why? Because, you know, you are fantastic and we really appreciate you. And we hope you continue to contribute to Cubs Scouting because you did that in order to be where we are right now. And then ask them to recommend anybody else that they would consider for this role and this skills. Because obviously they're thoughtfully considering this, right? They're thinking through what this role would be and why it wouldn't work for them. But who do they know that it might? And maybe you're going to surprise you with somebody you didn't think about that could be on your list.
Yes, my spouse, it could be, yeah, right.
Now, if they do that, you're going to have to go through the process of, do they fill the leadership roles?
And you should assess.
It has to be 21 and they have to be moral and there's actually a criteria. And so you want to make sure that they fit, this recommendation would fit that. And then you would move to the next prospect. So maybe their reference isn't your next prospect, but you keep it on the list.
Yes.
Right? So then you move to your next prospect and repeat the process.
Right. You kind of said this, but you don't have to take that person off your list. I mean, there's a chance they said no and don't ever ask me again, which I don't know. I imagine that doesn't happen too terribly much. It could, but like just because they said they wouldn't be a committee chair doesn't mean you couldn't ask them come spring if they can help with Pinewood Derby or Blue and Gold.
Right, because things and circumstances change, right? Mm-hmm. People are in different spaces. Unless it's a strong no and they give you a reason why and you just have to accept that. But often it's a no for now.
and sometimes it's like I know for me, I've been asked to do a position multiple times and finally said yes. And mm-hmm. I needed to process it. And so sometimes people have to be asked for the same position, you know, a few months later even.
Right. Right. And just make sure it's so if you're valuing people first, if you're valuing them as a person, then you're not going to close down these doors. You're going to keep communication open. You're going to talk about, okay, well, we understand it's no for right now for this particular position, but we really appreciate you in our pack and we would love to include you in the future. And if your schedule, please let us know if your schedule frees up and we may ask you again just to see if it has, you know, leave the doors open both ways for them to communicate with you and you to communicate with them. Unless you get a hard, I'm dealing with cancer and there's zero I can do.
Not doing the training. You know,
whatever it is, a hard no, then don't. But in almost every other case, you can leave the doors open for good communication. As long as you're valuing them and it's an open, happy process, not a, I can't believe you did that, you know, and you're mad about it. That's not helpful or constructive at all. So,
Yes. Alicia,
and one note, as you are going to ask them, don't be afraid and scared. The number one reason they found from research that people do not volunteer is they were never asked. And I don't mean like a blanket email or an open pack meeting call. Nobody answers those, right? They were not personally asked and explained that their skill set is particularly suited to this. So if you've done those beginning steps, you are so much closer to success.
Yeah, very good. Alicia echoes what we were just talking about. They've been with their pack for 5 years. She finally did the den leader training after some life events settled down. I think, you know, being a parent, everything's rapidly changing. Right. Things are so different every day, every week, every
month.
Maybe
you had a new baby and this is just life is overwhelming. I mean, you just don't know what's going on in their lives, right?
Right. Right. Hey, but then also don't discount the women who just had a baby. They may be on maternity leave and they have just met a point where they are so ready to finally be involved in a different way. You just never know. You really never know. Okay, this has been so fantastic. I really like this topic. I like how many resources we have. Audrey, what else do we need to share? What are there any other resources we want to call out?
Well, just the ones that I highlighted are really critical. The Family Talent Survey and the Selecting Cub Scout Leaders. I did get a question previously in the previous broadcast, like several years ago, about what about if you're a new unit? Currently, there is a unit roadmap for starting and sustaining new units, and that is a way to go. But that takes a lot of coordination, and you need to work with your council, and there are some paperwork processes and finding your charter. So it's a lot more complicated than just finding a leader, but that is available. And teasing again, Cub Scouting is going to be putting together a whole resource kit for strengthening. And what do you do once you started a new unit? How do you move forward? And for strengthening units that maybe need a refresh, a recharge. So that will be coming in this next year. So the National Cub Scouting Committee is out there listening to the needs and working through and getting ready to provide some really exciting resources coming up.
Very exciting. A teaser as always. Underlining what Audrey just said. Yes, starting a new unit involves more than, hey, just find some good leaders. But don't let it sound daunting
to you. No, I did. People create I started new a new unit. It's certainly possible. It's just there's a few more steps.
And we want you to if you need to. And there's a lot of viewers here I know who have started new units. So good job to you all. Wow. Mm-hmm. Somehow Aaron is in the comments saying good job to us. Thank you. Audrey, we could never thank you enough. Please, everyone, join us in thanking Audrey for her time. I don't even want to think about how many hours I think you probably put into this. The committee has done some really amazing things.
It's a full-time job, but it's been a labor of love.
We are very, very thankful for you. So this is definitely just goodbye for now. I know you'll be asked to come on a Cub Chat Live. And Aaron and I will be at NAMM, so we'll try to do something with
Audrey. Yeah, we'll see everybody there, for sure. Well, and everybody, we have two classes at NAMM at the National Annual Meeting. If anybody is there, please stop by. We're going to be highlighting the new Cub Scouting resources that will be released at NAMM. And there's two really exciting ones. And so that's all I can tease right now.
Yeah, get into those sessions, everybody. I bet that they are going to be popular. Yeah. I can't wait. I don't know what's coming. I can't wait to be there and see. So very cool. Audrey, anything else?
No, just thank you so much. And I guess the wrap up is always go look at Cub Chat Live archives. It is a wealth of information. And in general, we have covered all the topics you're going to need in various ways and formats, and we'll continue to. So as new things come up, Cub Chat Live is the place to be.
Very much. That is all thanks to you. And much thanks to you and everybody. We will be back next week with a best of episode for Easter. And then after that, next week, we'll be back with normal Cub Chat Live.
Yeah, we have an exciting STEM series coming up. It's so exciting.
Very cool. Everybody, stay tuned. Mark your calendars. 2 p.m. Central on Fridays. We'll be here. Thank you. We'll close it with Jen's comment. Audrey is so amazing. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to catch next week's episode. Same time, same place. And let us know how we're doing at go.scoutingmagazine.org/ratecubchat. We love feedback and ideas for new episodes. And you can visit blog.scoutingmagazine.org/cubchatlive for all our past video episodes. You can see us live. Except it's recorded, but it was live. Okay, see you next week.